Dear listeners, a quick note about today's episode. The events depicted are based on a real-life story, though some names have been changed, and we have used actors to reenact scenes. In most cases, we cannot be certain exactly what was said, but all of our dramatizations are based on research.
It's 6 p.m. on the 2nd of October, 1995. A landline phone is ringing loudly in the newsroom of the Star office building in Johannesburg. The Star is a daily newspaper publisher based in South Africa. Lucy Matthews, a Star reporter in her late 20s, hears the ringing and enters the room. Her editor follows behind her. The room is empty and spacious. A big white conference table is in the middle and surrounded by chairs. Newspapers are scattered all over the table. The phone continues to ring. Lucy walks over to the phone on the table and answers.
Hello, this is Lucy Matthews of Star Daily.
She hears nothing.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, hello, this is Joseph.
Lucy covers the mouthpiece and whispers to her editor.
It's him.
The editor motions for her to put the phone on speaker and the two of them huddle around the phone. The night before, Lucy had received a call from a guy who said his name is Joseph. He claimed to be the ABC killer, the one responsible for the murders in Attridgeville, Boksburg and Cleveland. He told her that it all started with an incident back in February 1989 involving a woman named Boyiswa Swagamisa. Back then, Boyiswa, a woman in her early 20s, had left her home to go to Jemiston to search for a job. Jemiston is a small city about 20-minute drive east of Johannesburg. On her way, she met a man who introduced himself as Lloyd Thomas. The man convinced Boyiswa to follow him to Cleveland, a suburb in Johannesburg. He promised her a better working opportunity, but when they arrived at Cleveland, the man led her to a veld, an open grassland area, and raped her. 3 months later, Boyiswa saw the man who raped her standing outside her new workplace and she called the police. He was arrested and taken to court where he pleaded not guilty. At the end of the trial, the man was sentenced to 6 years in prison. He served 4 of those years. That man who went to prison for 4 years is Joseph, the same man on the phone speaking with Lucy.
Joseph, yesterday you told me about the incident with Boyiswa, the one where you went to jail for 4 years. What happened after you got out?
She said I raped her, and I didn't. I didn't even know who she was. I was innocent, and no one believed me. I was sent to prison for 4 years for a crime I didn't commit. So, when I got out, I decided to make them pay. So I force a woman to go where I want. And when I go there, I tell them, do you know what? I was hurt. So I'm doing it now. Then I kill them. These women hurt me.
So you killed all those women?
Yes, all of them. The ones in Cleveland, the ones at Attridgeville, Bergsburg. It was me. It was all me. I did it to show the injustice. I was wrongfully convicted for a crime I didn't commit.
Lucy's editor writes down the word proof on his jotter and shows it to Lucy. Lucy nods.
How do I know you are the killer? You could be making all this up. Everything you told me is out in the public.
There is a body that the police have not found yet. They don't know about it. It's under a cardboard box near Jupiter Station on the East Rand. Go there and find it. I will call you tomorrow.
He hangs up and the line goes dead.
Call the police. We have to let them know what he just told us.
Do you think he's for real?
I don't know, but we can't risk it.
That night, Luciana, editor, passed on the information to the police, and the next day, the police went to the location. Just like Joseph mentioned, they found a woman's body that had been decomposing for some time. She was never identified. And just a few meters away from her unidentified body, the police also find another body, a fresh one. This woman had been strangled recently using a garrote and dumped close to a ditch behind the railway. Her name was Beauty Ndebeni. The police informed Lucy about the bodies they found, and they came up with a plan for the next time that Joseph would call. That evening, Lucy and her editor received a call from Joseph.
Hello.
Lucy knows Joseph is the killer now, and she has to get him to keep talking long enough for the police to trace his location.
Joseph, the police found the bodies.
I told you they would. Do you still doubt me now?
No, I believe you. But why? I mean, you said you don't like women. You said they all hurt you in some way. What about your mother? Did she hurt you?
That woman never cared about me. All she did was drink herself to stupor. She was an alcoholic, and she took all her stress out on me. I mean, the beatings I went through were excruciating, and she was just going crazy on me.
Lucy could hear Joseph's voice trailing off, as if he was actually going back in time.
When I was 5, I was raped and abused by women. Not men, women. They did that to me.
Lucy could hear the hatred in his voice every time he said the words, women or mother.
All things got so much worse after my father died. I remember I was 6, and my mother and my siblings were evicted from our home. I spent my childhood being moved from one youth home to another. And each time, I was mistreated and hurt. It was a struggle to survive. And when I was 8, I ran away from the youth home to find my mother. And when I found her, she didn't want me. The woman who gave birth to me did not want me. She sent me away. She sent me back to suffer. What kind of a mother does that to her child? I was in pain.
Joseph's voice strayed off into silence. Lucy had to keep him talking.
But Yusufa made you suffer too, like your mother did.
Yes. I spent 4 years in prison because of that woman. I was raped by inmates and rejected by others for being a rapist. I was assaulted for years all because of her. But if it wasn't for prison, I wouldn't have met my wife, and I wouldn't have my daughter.
Lucy and her editor glanced at each other, shocked by this piece of information. He has a wife, Lucy mouthed to her editor.
I met Martha in prison. She was coming to the prison to visit her brother. That's when we met and fell in love. When I got out, I moved in with her, but her family hated me. Her mother wasn't happy that Martha could love me, a prisoner. After I got out, I started working with Martha's brother, who was a mechanic in Attridgeville. By then, this was after apartheid, so I was able to travel around more easily to look for work.
Lucy knows all too well how apartheid impacted the black community in South Africa. Not only were they forced to live separate from the whites and Indians, their communities were systematically denied basic amenities that they needed to develop. And with few job opportunities, the black communities spiraled out of control. The end of apartheid meant that black people could finally travel around to find jobs.
On my job hunt in the city, I met other women who were also out looking for jobs. And I found ways to get them to follow me. I would basically just tell them I'm either a businessman or I know a place where they could get a good job, and they just simply follow me. That's when I force them to do whatever I want. Then I kill them. I mean, some women will fight, Some will just give up. Some women were strong as men. They would struggle for a while. There was one woman who knew karate. I struggled with her for hours. I gave her a chance to fight. I told her if we fought and she lost, she would die. She died. It was quite interesting.
Just as Joseph was about to continue, the call was interrupted.
You have 1 minute left for this call. Please recharge to continue.
Hello, Joseph. Are you there?
Yes. The money on this payphone is running out. I will call you tomorrow.
Lucy looks at her editor. She has to keep him on the phone.
Wait. Just give me the number to the payphone. Let me call you back.
Okay.
Joseph gives her the number. She writes it down and hands it to her editor.
Call him back and keep him talking. I will get this to the police.
With the number, the police immediately traced the call to a phone booth near a train station that was close to the Star office. They sent officers to the location. Meanwhile, Joseph continues to speak with Lucy.
I hate women. I didn't care who they were or where they were from. Killing them was a way of teaching them a very good lesson. I fully hate a black woman. A woman can hurt you more than a man. More than anybody in this world.
Did you beat these women before killing them?
No, I did not beat anybody. Just strangle.
Joseph suddenly goes silent.
Hello, Joseph. Are you there?
Hang on.
Lucy couldn't hear Joseph anymore. Instead, she heard a commotion and what sounded like police officers yelling for someone to stop.
Hello? Joseph, are you there?
She hears nothing. Lucy's editor comes back into the room.
He's not responding.
Yes. The police just called. They found him, but he ran.
Oh, God.
And his name is not Joseph. It is Moses Sitole.
By the next morning, Moses Sitole's name and photo were all over the media. The whole day at work, Lucy could not concentrate. She kept replaying her conversations with Moses over and over again in her head. She's conflicted. On the one hand, she knows Moses is a bad person, but on the other hand, she couldn't help but feel sorry for him. All day, her thoughts went back and forth, and by the time she got home, Lucy was beyond exhausted. Lucy barely entered into her house when her phone rings.
Hello?
She hears nothing, but immediately she gets this feeling at the pit of her stomach.
Moses, is that you?
How could you have done that? What did you do? I thought we had a relationship. I trusted you. You broke the trust and betrayed me. You were just like all those other women.
Moses, wait. Hello? Hello?
A few days later, Kwazi is in her living room. She can't believe the news. Her brother is wanted for murder. Her phone rings. It's been ringing all day. Family members and friends are looking for Moses.
Hello?
Kwazi answers quickly.
Kwazi, it's me.
Moses? Moses, where are you?
It doesn't matter. I just need a gun. Tell your husband to get me a gun.
Kwazi's husband overhears his wife and grabs the phone.
Moses, where are you? Where the hell are you?
Kwazi's husband agrees to meet Moses to deliver the gun, but then he immediately contacts the police and they set up a trap for Moses. When Moses arrives to meet his brother-in-law, he could sense something was off and he makes a run for it, but it's too late. An officer chases after him. Somehow, Moses gets a hold of an axe, turns to face the officer and strikes him. In self-defense, the officer shoots Moses in his leg and stomach. On October 18th, 1995, about 15 months after the first body was discovered, Moses was placed under arrest and rushed to the hospital. At the hospital, he was under 24 hours watch, and when he regained consciousness, the police moved in to interrogate him. During the interrogation, Moses refused to answer any questions. The police then decided to invite a female officer in to interrogate him instead. As soon as the female arrived, Moses began to tell her everything he had done over the years. That day, Moses was charged with 38 counts of murder and 40 counts of rape. During arraignment, Moses pleaded not guilty. His trial started on October 21, 1996, a year after his arrest. During the trial, over 300 people testified against him. On December 4, 1997, Moses was found guilty of 38 counts of murder, 40 counts of rape, and 6 counts of robbery. He was sentenced to 2,410 years in prison, with no possibility of parole for 930 years. Out of 38 victims found, only 28 were identified by their families. Their bodies were released and laid to rest. 10 bodies are still unidentified. For this episode, we relied on several sources, including the A&E biography Moses Sithole, The South African Strangler, True Crime South Africa, the podcast, and Catch Me a Killer, a book written by Mickey Pistorius. And we will include the links in our episode notes. True Crime Niger is a Triple E Media production. Production copyright 2021 Triple E Media Productions. This episode was written by John Iwudi and Ramat Mohammed. Produced by Senet Ewa and Antonietta Kalunta. Directed by Senet Ewa and Antonietta Kalunta. Executive producer Ramat Mohammed. Sound recording Sam Tabakaji and Double D Tabakaji. Mixing and mastering Nico Rivers. Special thanks to Joy Bulus Anzai as Lucy, Joseph Johnson as Moses, Favour Omebije as Lucy's editor, Asogwa Chima Collins as Lucy's editor, Eunice Honshi Donard, Antonietta Kalunta, Sariki, and Gabriel Gar. Join us in January for the next season of True Crime Niger. Next season, we bring you stories of men who get murdered by the women they love.